Henricks.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The Senate has passed $9 billion in federal spending cuts requested by President Trump. The money will slash funding for international aid and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Democrats like Senator Chuck Schumer voting no.
This is a dark day for America, a dark day for rural Americans, a dark day for any American who relies on public broadcasting during floods, hurricanes, tornadoes, and other disasters.
Republicans call it cutting out waste, fraud, and abuse. A lightning strike in New Jersey has killed an archery instructor. Two people died in flash flooding in New Jersey earlier this week. She was born in Jersey. The Boys Are singer Connie Francis has died, according to her friend and publicist Ron Roberts. Francis, known for hits like Who's Sorry Now and Pretty Little Baby, was 87. This is ABC News.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulatz. The Iowa County Sheriff's Office has an update to a search for a missing endangered person. The Dodgeville Police Department is conducting an endangered missing person investigation that occurred Tuesday night. At approximately 7:50, the Dodgeville Police Department responded to a welfare check in the 300 block of East Division Street in the city of Dodgeville. Upon arrival, officers made contact with the missing person's family members, who reported that the missing person had not been heard from since approximately 11 o'clock Monday morning. Dodgeville Police Department officers determined that evidence at the scene suggested that the missing person may be injured and/or in danger. The missing person's vehicle was not located at the scene, and a public notification was issued. Investigators discovered that the vehicle may be in the state of Nebraska, and information was relayed to the Nebraska State Patrol. At 1:50 Wednesday morning, a Nebraska State Trooper spotted the vehicle on I-80 in Lincoln. The driver was not the subject of the missing person case. The trooper attempted a traffic stop, which resulted in a vehicle pursuit, ending when the vehicle crashed and the driver, identified as Gavin Thompson, 23, of Dodgeville, fled on foot and was subsequently arrested and transported to the Lancaster County Jail in Nebraska. The Iowa County Sheriff's Department has confirmed that a deceased adult female was located in the vehicle and are awaiting positive identification of the deceased female. The Dodgeville Police Department is leading this investigation and is assisted by the Wisconsin Department of Justice, Division of Criminal Investigation, a DCI Crime Response Specialist, the Wisconsin State Crime Laboratory Crime Scene Response Team, Iowa County Sheriff's Office, and the Nebraska State Patrol. Additional updates will be available via the Iowa County Sheriff's Office Facebook page. I'm Joanne Krulatz.
The Bucks re-signed Livingston. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NBA. The Bucks have re-signed center Chris Livingston after waiving him just 2 weeks ago. The move adds depth to the Bucks roster after losing Brook Lopez to the Clippers in free agency, who says the move to LA is more like a homecoming.
You know, I'm a Cali boy, so you know, I grew up in the Valley in North Hollywood. Obviously, things were very different back then. To see where the Clippers have come now, it's astonishing. It's beautiful. I'm glad to be a part of it, and hopefully I can help take them even further up.
The Bucks losing to the Bulls last night, 102-96, to wrap up the Summer League. NFL, Packers training camp starts next week. Jordan Love holding his youth football camp in Milwaukee today. Left tackle Rashid Walker asked about attending the quarterback's wedding to his fiancée, Ronica Stone.
The wedding was a beautiful wedding, beautiful ceremony, such a beautiful couple. Hopefully Ronica can, you know, keep Jordan on his A game.
That's Packers left tackle Rashid Walker. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
We bring the excitement to you from wherever the Milwaukee Brewers are playing on WRCE FM 107.7 AM 1450 in Richland Center.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Calmer today after a wet and stormy Wednesday. Increasing sunshine, cooler and less humid, a high of 73. Tonight, mostly clear skies, lows in the mid-50s. Mostly sunny on Friday, beautiful with a high of 76. Right now, it's 57.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Milwaukee film critic Mr. Matt Miller. I know you saw this. I saw 28 Years Later as well. I really liked it. My wife loved it, and we're not really horror people, but just something that grabbed. It's just great storytelling.
It is simultaneously what you would want from a zombie movie and something completely different. It's just a really fascinating movie, and one I hope people keep checking out.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Stephanie Bloomingdale, president of the Wisconsin AFL-CIO. The big brutal bill is basically an all-out assault on working Americans.
No tax on tips. It's not as good as it sounds because a lot of tipped workers are not paying that higher level of taxes in the first place.
As the wealthiest among us dine at the feast of all feasts, don't be fooled by the table scraps.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, our road trip continues. Matinair on air and Todd Alba broadcasting live from the Fanatical Fish Gallery in Butternut. Absolutely join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11. News from the Center, WRCE.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
At 8:06 in the morning on this Thursday, July 17th, welcome back. Nice to have you here up north. We've got Parker Olson producing this fine program out of Madison Studio 2A. Or is it A2? It's A2. Yeah, A2.
A2, don't say 2A.
There we go. Weird. And then, of course, we'll talk to Chad Holmes from 98.9 WXCO in Wausau and meteorologist Brittany Merlot. All coming up, but first I've got to give an update. In the middle of the night, shortly before waking up, I heard a clatter, and I was fearful of, like, I don't know, home invasion or, you know, the ICE was coming to get me, whatever the case may be. It took a while, but I finally discovered what it was, Parker.
Yeah.
These lights above the shelf.
What do you mean those lights?
These, they fell again.
They're lights. They don't,
they're like these four little lamps, and IKEA sends them because, you know, I only go for the best, IKEA. They send them along with either adhesive, a little piece of tape, or these little tiny screws. And I don't know how these big old Scandinavians with their lumberjack hands have these teeny tiny screws, but I thought, I don't want to monkey with the little
great
tiny screws. So I use the little adhesive strips that come with it. Which don't work because those lights have come down. These damn lights have come down a couple of times now. And do you know what's holding them up right now?
Oh, weights?
A big old strip of duct tape.
Nice. Yes. I like it.
I do not need your teeny tiny. I'm not going to monkey with the teeny tiny screws. Oh. You got to drill the whole pilot hole and all that. So people who were hoping, because we talked about this before, like, wouldn't it be great if those lights came down, like, live on air?
Yes.
No, they came down at 4 in the morning, and hopefully not on air. But I wanted to thank the sponsor of this hour's program, Duct Tape.
Duct Tape.
Or putting it, that is how the Lake Wissota studio is put together, with duct tape. So, having gotten the housekeeping out of the way, quite literally, let's get an update on the forecast one last time with Brittany Merlot. And I say one last time because every year ahead of EAA, we're always fearful that this is goodbye, that one of these times she's going to hop on a plane and she's just going to say, I am off to fly around the world. There are going to be two Goodyear blimps at the EAA this year. Who's to say she doesn't end up as one of those, like out of the movie Up, she'll be exploring, you know, someplace in South America before we know it. Brittany, please don't run away. Please don't. Okay.
I won't try to, but I am trying to get in that blimp, let me tell you. So I'm hoping for a video of that.
Yeah. But you're thinking it might be wet next week for this.
I am. So I am gearing up my tent. I'm going to be in a tent on the ground all week long, living through all the rain and the storms that are going to be headed our way next week. So I am getting the metal stakes. I'm getting plenty of reinforcement, a lot of stuff to help waterproof that because I'm going to be in the thick of it. But we were in the thick of it yesterday. That was wild. It all started around noon, lasting through about 5 or 6 o'clock, even a little bit later on the east side. 5 to 7 different tornadoes possible. The National Weather Service is out there surveying that area, bunch of areas over today and tomorrow. They'll come back with all of those updates later on today, probably. And of course, we are looking at much calmer conditions right now. It feels like fall across the state. Refreshing out there. Temperatures are in the upper 40s to mid 60s right now. A lot more cloud cover down south. There is some sunshine in parts of central Wisconsin and far northwest. It will become sunny statewide today. Gradually, those clouds will clear. Highs only in the upper 60s to low 70s. Enjoy it, because we do get a little bit warmer tomorrow, mid to upper 70s, and then we'll flirt with about 80 degrees as we go into the weekend. Now, we're staying dry today, most of tomorrow, but rain does start to spark up far northwest by the afternoon, and it wants to slide through the rest of the state into the evening and through the overnight. No severe weather, no worries there, but extra rain. We've got flooding ongoing, especially into places of the Fox Valley, so every drop adds to it. Keep an eye on those rivers and streams, especially as we go through the weekend. More showers and storms are expected early Saturday, then possibly Sunday far south in the state. And then, like we said, next week is pretty active, and I'll be out there keeping you updated as well.
I bet you will. Okay, well, if anybody can rough it properly, it is you. Alicia puts on YouTube, I see you're saying bring umbrellas to the EAA. It also says... Poncho would probably be better. Yeah, she says that's how equipment in the military was put together, duct tape and well wishes.
Exactly.
And from Colleen, OMG, what a great group. And talking about Jane and Todd joining us, Chris Hambuck Boyle says, love Butternut, amazing rural public school district up there. So we appreciate everybody that's staying in touch with us. Brittany, enjoy the day off tomorrow to get ready for it all. And we'll look forward to hearing from you from the EAA next week, we hope.
Sounds good. I can't wait. Have a good weekend.
All right. We'll check in with Chad Holmes in just a moment as well. I just want to keep checking through the mailbag. Alicia says, yes, call your legislators about funding the programs for homeless veterans and for child care. Excuse me while I cough for a second. Sorry about that. All right. And Corinne Hendrickson puts on YouTube about Republican math not being real math and not fully accounting for anything. And says of Senator Smith's comments, we got less than 25% for the monthly program that keeps tuition stabilized and our programs open. So let's bring in Chad Holmes now, where I'm sure up by you in the Wausau area, you are hearing as well as I am about it's not just what was in the budget, but what was not in the budget. And as I said yesterday, I want to make clear, we are not... When we say it was a very bipartisan budget and, you know, people from both sides don't like things about it, so it must be a good budget, that doesn't mean it was a good budget. We're just stating what it is that there were things that people liked and hated about it. It was still overall a flawed process.
Man, I mean, you kind of hit on the head, and we have not discussed what we're going to be talking about today, but in fact, that's what I've been kind of thinking about, and partly because of the folks that you've been talking to the last couple of days. It really is, and I've been going back, you know, and I, you know, in terms of I really not to get on the bandwagon of calling you a senator like some of your colleagues, but at the same time, you've been there, and I think back to what you've been talking about, not just this week, but over the last number of months, and you've been talking about the fact that hey, there is a lot of opportunity to be a bipartisan budget, that there is a lot available in order to have as close to a win-win as possible. And that would be in a bipartisan way. But at the same time, there is also in a bipartisan way a chance to be a pseudo loss, pseudo win, or whatever you want to call it. And I just think that as we talk about a lot of these specific issues, and again, I just think that's a couple of the guests you've had this week have been right on the head on it, that it shows again, I think, the difficulty of the job that especially those on the Democratic side have right now, and I'll include the governor in this as well, when you have, I think, a Republican Party that is so laser focused on one area, and that is tax cuts for the wealthy, that a certain amount has to go there, and that they have these philosophical beliefs in not spending more money in even areas that have been proven time and time again that we do need additional funding for it. And I just think that the more that we're finding out about this, that yes, there are certain areas that got bumps, but mm-hmm. boy, at this time, over the last number of years, with the surplus, with the opportunity to try to really make a difference in not just in people's lives generally, but in certain businesses. When you talk about one of your guests just in the last hour calling former provider or soon to be former provider, there is something wrong here. And I just think it's not just Wisconsin Republicans we're hearing again. I mean, the idea of gutting public broadcasting, and especially for rural areas, that we're going to see so many signals closed down. And we talk here in this part of the state so often about, you know, broadband access. And I think you can say that it's a similar idea as, say, public broadcasting or broadcasting in any way to bring information to people, to bring certain aspects of life to them. And it's all about this philosophical belief that no government is the best government. And boy, we are in a very difficult spot right now, where I do think that the Democrats in the state legislature and the governor were able to do some good things. But boy, I think you're making so many great examples of where we have so many shortfalls and so much room to still grow, to truly get to a point that a great majority of the people are getting what they need from their government.
Yeah. In terms of when you mentioned public broadcasting and the support for that, and people who want, you know, virtually no government, what it is that they want is authoritarian government. And there's been news coverage about, you know, what the Trump administration really wants here. And what they want from American radio and TV stations is what they've done overseas with Voice of America, where they have fired tons of people, and a lot of the programming has been replaced with propaganda from the One American Network. All this pro-Trump propaganda that is now being put out, you know, by Voice of America. So that when you see them pressuring Paramount to settle over a report on 60 Minutes, when you see ABC settling, and when you see other big media companies settling out of corporate interests, it only takes us one step closer to going to those networks and then taking over, you know, what was public radio, public TV, and again, turning them into propaganda arms. And for anybody that would say that is hyperbole, you're not watching what has happened in other places, and you're not watching what's happening on the ground right now. And it is, again, just to toot our own horn, there's never been a more important time for independent entities like a Civic Media, like a Courier Newsroom, like an Up North News, and voices, local voices like yours, to be around. There are local voices in Wausau that are, you know, rather sycophantic with, you know, whatever it is that you know, Trump wants, hardly in the best interest of the Wausau community. And so, you know, everything that you just said needs to be said and then some on stations like 98.9 in Wausau.
And again, and I know some people disagree with me, but man, when you, I say all the time, this idea of a liberal media is the biggest lie that I think I've ever heard in my life. I mean, when you think about the voices that are out there, and again, I think you hit it on the head when it comes to what the right wants when it comes to the media, this totally right in line. I want to hear the examples again of where Big Bird and Mr. Rogers have been touting the left-wing propaganda. Because that's what they seem to say, that it's just been a propaganda arm of the left-wing, when that is so far from the truth. It's exhausting to try to fight back against those kind of statements, because when you look at radio around the country, when you look at cable television, I mean, the so-called liberal cable television has so many former Republicans on their airwaves, that's considered liberal.
Well, look, it goes way back to that iconic episode of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, where there was a local, I forget if it was a police officer or a postman.
Police officer.
And a black man who, it was a hot day, and they said, well, let's both soak our feet in this kiddie pool. It was groundbreaking, because back then, you know, black children were not allowed to swim in the municipal pool if there were white kids in there. And it's only grown from there that somehow the liberal value is to be against racism, sexism, you know, misogyny, religious discrimination. And if that's what the right wants to be in this day and age, then go ahead. But, you know, unfortunately, they're winning too many elections with messages of fear because they're allowed to bring all this money into it. And
Mr. Rogers was a lifetime Republican, by the way. Just last month, and I encourage you folks, go onto YouTube. Won't You Be My Neighbor is available on YouTube. I watched it again last month, and I had tears in my eyes because, again,
the kind of Republican who wants to govern, still be frugal, but wants to govern rather than rule. Chad Holmes from 98.9 WXCO. Thank you, buddy. Talk to you later. We'll be back with more after this. A local update is next for some of you. You're up north.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
This fall, there's only one place to be, Camp Randall Stadium. Wisconsin football returns with can't-miss matchups, including Maryland, Iowa, Washington, and more. From the first touchdown to jump around and the celebration of the fifth quarter. Experience the traditions and unforgettable memories that make Wisconsin football so special. Single game tickets are now on sale. Lock in your spot today by visiting uwbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS. Wisconsin football game day starts here. We'll see you at Camp Randall.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
I came walking in here just a moment ago, and there was a young lady sitting here with a chicken.
It's fantastic.
On the table.
Kaylee High from Staley Boyd High School. What's the line of bird?
So this breed, is breed. Sue. She's a Dominique, and she's 6 years old.
Is Sue here? Does she lay eggs?
She did used to. She's too old.
So chickens go through menopause?
Yes.
Or... really?
Much. Yeah, basically.
It's a post-menopausal chicken. My sisters can relate.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app, The Maggie Dawn Show.
We've got Chris from Nina. What's your thought this afternoon, Chris?
Oftentimes you have only one set of viewers that will watch Fox News or watch CNN. What I really actually love and respect from all your viewers is the fact that you tend to have viewers that think on both sides of the aisle. To be open-minded, you need to be willing to listen and learn and possibly change your mind. You don't have to change your mind, but just being willing to listen.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
Mommy, can I sit in the front seat just this one time? Please, please, please.
No, not yet.
But why?
Because I love you, and you're just not ready yet. Now, get in the back so I can get you in your car seat, please.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
We are the National Park Foundation, and together with you, we're creating a future where every person, every generation, gets their chance at an unforgettable moment. Learn more at nationalparks.org/foundation.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WRCE. I'm Joanne Krulotz, and here's what's going on in Richland Center this morning.
The Richland County Board has another vacant seat. Craig Woodhouse, representing District 12, submitted his letter of resignation effective Monday. He stated the decision was entirely due to his recent change in employment. He has accepted the position of Executive Director at Neighborhood Housing Services of Southwest Wisconsin. In his letter, he stated that, quote, "I feel that the best way I can serve the community is through improving the housing situation in Richland County and Southwest Wisconsin," end quote. Persons interested in being appointed as a county board supervisor from the vacant district should submit name and address and a brief statement of your qualifications to serve on the county board to the county clerk in written form by 8 o'clock Monday morning, September 1st. Applicants must be at least 18 years old and qualified to vote in District 12. The county clerk's mailing address is Post Office Box 310, Richland Center, Wisconsin 53581. The email address is derek.kalish@county.richland.wi.us. The fax number is 608-647-6134. The Richland County Board of Supervisors approved the appointment of Barb Scott as Emergency Services Director for the next 3 months and John Heinen as Interim Emergency Management Director through December 31st while they look to fill the positions. The current practice of short-term borrowing has been utilized to complete various capital improvement projects within Richland County, and the amount of proposed short-term borrowing for 2026 capital improvement projects is $1,064,000, excluding fees allocated in COC and RIP $25,000, County MIS $80,000, Highway $500,000, Sheriff $209,000, and Simons Center $250,000. The Richland County Board of Supervisors approved the 2026 Capital Improvement Plan as presented. The proposed projects are technology in the small courtroom, countywide server refresh, highway equipment purchases, new squad cars and department software, and HVAC replacement for Simons Recreation Complex. Those wishing to attend the Richland County Fair this year will be able to enter the grounds without paying an admission charge. The Richland County Board of Supervisors approved the free admission at last night's meeting. The thought behind the move is that free admission to the Richland County Fairgrounds during the Richland County Fair will be advantageous to residents and all of those involved. It is also the hope that free admission may increase attendance at the Richland County Fair and the corresponding events and provide the community with an increased opportunity to attend. It was also noted that the lack of volunteer staff has made it difficult in recent years to collect the admission fee at the entry to the fairgrounds. Admission to the grounds will be free, but admission will be charged for certain grandstand events within the fairgrounds during the annual county fair. The board also discussed rules concerning public comment at the board meetings. The current rule allows 3 minutes per person. It was moved to allow a second 3-minute time frame for those who need more time to speak due to personal issues. It was voted down 10-6. It was also amended to add that the subject matter does have to relate to agenda items or business of the county. In other action items, the board approved several resolutions. Health Direct Pharmacy Services to provide pharmacy services to Pine Valley Community Village. Pine Valley Community Village is required to have a pharmacy provider. Changes to the sick leave, vacation, and wage scale sections of the Handbook of Personnel Policies and Work Rules of Richland County. A major change in the policy is that employees who have been terminated will not be eligible to receive vacation payout unless there is a negotiated settlement in place approved by the administrator. The sale of platinum from the campus. The platinum items from the campus are of no use to the county, and the platinum items have been evaluated with an estimated value of $1,300 as of June 17th. And to pay the bills to the Richland County Snowmobile Alliance and the Hillsboro Trailblazers from the 2024-25 Snowmobile Maintenance Grant in the amount of $14,223. The Richland County Board also approved several ordinances. County employees or officers will not be required to accept more than $1 in coins as payment of a fee or other financial obligation owed to the county. They will also not be required to accept any currency or coin which has been soiled, contaminated, tainted, or polluted with any substance that may pose a risk to public safety or human health. The county may retain overpayments of real property tax when the overpayment is $5 or less, unless the refund is specifically requested in writing within 60 days of the date of the original payment of the charge. Unless otherwise provided by law, if a person makes a payment for real property tax, which constitutes an underpayment of not more than $1 on the first installment, the remainder will be added to the second installment. If the full amount is not paid by the end of the collection cycle, underpayments of not more than $1 may be waived when the administrative cost of collection would exceed the amount of underpayment. And county departments accepting checks are authorized to charge a fee of $25 for all checks returned due to insufficient funds or where a stop payment order has been issued. Replacement of the Richland Hospital and Clinic's patient and employee parking lots continues through July. This week, contractors begin the demolition and replacement of the patient parking lot in two phases. TRHC asks that patients arrive a bit early to account for changes in the parking process for the remainder of the month. At this time, patient parking near the building is limited. However, handicap parking is still available near the building. patients can be dropped off at the building in the designated drop-off area near the fountain at the main entrance. Additional patient parking is available in the TRHC employee lot at Park and 3rd Streets. A shuttle service will be provided for patients who park in the employee lot and require assistance. Entrance to the TRHC patient lot closest to the building will change as the project progresses. Effective today and for approximately 1 week, patients can access the patient lot by taking 2nd Street to Park Street. TRHC staff and volunteers will be available in the lots during clinic hours to direct patients and answer questions. They will be wearing bright yellow vests. You've been listening to WRCE's local news on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Take your favorite WRCE shows with you on the go by downloading the Civic Media app in the Apple or Google Play stores. For WRCE and Civic Media, I'm Joanne Krulotz.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
We bring the excitement to you from wherever the Milwaukee Brewers are playing on WRCE FM 107.7 AM 1450 in Richland Center.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulotz. Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call is suing the Trump administration over frozen education grants. Call, along with over 20 other states, is challenging the White House for stopping the distribution of over $6.8 billion in funds for schools just weeks before classes start. Wisconsin will be losing out on $72 million in grants. Two places that house veterans in need now have to close. Savannah Tomei Olson reports.
The Veterans Housing and Recovery Program provides temporary housing, job training, and resources to veterans facing homelessness. It operates three short-term housing facilities across the state in Chippewa Falls, Green Bay, and Union Grove. Governor Tony Evers added almost $2 million in his budget proposal to keep funding the three sites, but Republicans removed it and gave the program $0 in new money. That's forcing the housing centers in Chippewa Falls and Green Bay to close. Evers says the Joint Finance Committee was warned by the Legislative Fiscal Bureau, the nonpartisan, basically accountants of the legislature, that this would happen if they didn't invest more money. Evers called the move irresponsible and says he'll keep fighting for veterans. And when the legislature is back in session this fall, veteran services will be a top priority. The Chippewa Falls and Green Bay locations will close September 30th. Veterans there will be offered alternative housing. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
The man charged in a poisoning plot against women he previously dated is bound over for trial. Paul Van Dyne is charged in Dane County Court with two counts of attempted first-degree intentional homicide and stalking. He also faces charges in Rock County alongside co-defendant Andrea Whitaker. Online court records show a preliminary hearing for Van Dyne was scheduled for Tuesday, but that was waived and Van Dyne was bound over for trial. I'm Joanne Krulotz.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. George Wendt passed away May 20th at the age of 76. Wendt played Norm on Cheers for all 11 seasons of the show. His co-star, Rhea Perlman, who played Carla on the show, told the New York Post recently his passing was the saddest thing ever. Perlman and Wendt were both part of a Cheers reunion at the 2024 Emmys. The actress says none of her or her fellow Cheers castmates thought Wendt was that sick, adding that she didn't even think Wendt thought he was sick. Perlman's new show, Too Much, can be seen on Netflix. Yes, there are probably too many sequels and franchise movies coming out of Hollywood. Every once in a while, though, you see one that catches your eye and you think it's really cool. Such is the case for yours truly and a new movie from the Dr. Seuss world based on the book Oh, the Places You Will Go. Warner Brothers has announced the new animated film will feature the voices of Josh Gad and Ariana Grande. Oh, the Places You Will Go was the last book published by Dr. Seuss, who passed away in 1990. No release date on the movie has been announced. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
We bring the excitement to you from wherever the Milwaukee Brewers are playing on WRCE FM 107.7 AM 1450 in Richland Center.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Calmer today after a wet and stormy Wednesday. Increasing sunshine, cooler and less humid, a high of 73. Tonight, mostly clear skies, lows in the mid-50s. Mostly sunny on Friday, beautiful with a high of 76. It's 58 at our studios.
My name is DeMar Hamlin. I play for the Buffalo Bills, and I play safety. CPR saved my life. I've teamed up with the American Heart Association as a national ambassador to help create a nation of lifesavers, turning bystanders into lifesavers.
through CPR education and access to AEDs. Nearly 3 out of 4 cardiac arrests that don't happen in hospitals happen in homes. Join me to ensure everyone has the chance to live longer, healthier lives. Visit heart.org/nation.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I imagine we'll talk about Superman. It's the same thing I said about F1. It's a great video. The music is great. The action's great. The CGI is great. I don't feel like they had to really develop the characters. It was fine.
I thought they did a really good job of showing Superman's, you know, humility.
I agree with you there. One of my positives, it wasn't 2 hours and 40 minutes like every other blockbuster movie this summer, but lots to like there.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Wonderfully Wisconsin's Paul Vandenplas, who will make the popcorn pick of the week. Then I'm joined by Jason Mansmith from the Thrasher Opera House. We're going to light a Thursday like it's a Friday.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
The All-Star break is just about over. The Milwaukee Brewers are on the West Coast. They'll be taking on the Los Angeles Dodgers starting tomorrow night. Coverage begins at 8:35 p.m. on several Civic Media stations. And, of course, tomorrow is also Free Ticket Friday. Your chance tomorrow to use that Civic Media app. Text us a keyword that we're going to give you, a different word several times throughout the day. Put you in the running for 4 great club-level seats to American Family Field to watch a specific Brewers game. So to find out what game it's for and what the keyword is, tune in tomorrow on these mornings powered by Up North News here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Let's see here. Let's go first to Sean O'Malley, then Joe Zepecki. Sean with us to talk about your money in the markets. The markets have opened up slightly higher this morning, but inflation has also increased slightly, Sean, since last we checked.
Yes, indeed, Pat. We've seen the June number come in for inflation, and it was 2.4% in May. It's gone up to 2.7% in June. So pretty significant jump. I mean, yes, still low overall, but 0.3% is pretty big change. We're used to seeing, you know, usually 1/10, maybe 2. 3 is a pretty significant move. So it's kind of, you know, stay tuned.
All right. And then foreclosures and bankruptcies, another indication of where we're at with the economy.
Yeah, well, I wanted to look sort of as a follow-up to our earlier conversation with respect to tariffs and how that might be impacting agriculture in particular. And one of the things we've seen is nationwide, the farm bankruptcies have basically in first quarter of 2025, they have surpassed all of 2024. Whoa. Nationwide. Here in Wisconsin, sort of a year-to-date measure, we're up about 70% 2025 versus the comparable period in 2024. So we are seeing impacts to a lot of farms in terms of profitability. Some of the things that have been mentioned are increased fuel prices and raw material inputs like fertilizer. So remember our discussion about potash being primarily from Canada, and now with tariffs, that's going up. Also with the counter tariffs, the demand for agricultural goods has dropped. So therefore prices have dropped. So they're making less money there on the farm side. And there's just this general trade and economic uncertainty that's still pervasive in the marketplace. And it's just causing a lot of problems, not the least of which is the stock market, but also in terms of what's happening with farms.
Yeah. And look, for folks that thought, well, there will be stability in 90 days because Trump's going to give us 90 deals in 90 days. I've got a farm to sell you. Actually, a lot of farms that I could sell.
And I got a bridge to sell you.
Yeah, exactly. Sean O'Malley, thank you so much as always. Take care. We'll talk to you next week.
All right.
I can't make up this next item any better as I make the transition here to Joe Zepecki. Joe, during the break, I was monitoring the Courier Newsroom Slack conversation. And we're always coming up with different, you know, newsletters and podcasts and other things. And in one of our states, they are about to release their new podcast. And the note here says, shooting an episode of the Oh God, Now What podcast. And I sent a note. I'm like, please tell me that's the actual name. And they're like, yep, it is. So be looking for the Oh God, Now What podcast coming real soon. I think that's the official greatest podcast name of 2025.
The Crisis Core movement is strong.
It is. I mean, come on. There's so much here. And Joe, I really sincerely apologize that we're starting the way that we're starting, because there's all these other things with the state budget we can go to and everything. But I just want to bounce off of you the whole notion of what this Jeffrey Epstein thing is. And we're not getting into the case because, again, these are victims who deserve justice and they've been caught up in politics. But the fact that Trump is now going so hard after his base, calling his voters stupid for believing the Epstein hoax when he and others were the ones who built this thing up and said there's this cabal of Democratic pedophiles and everything. And now when it's time to put up or shut up, once again, he relies on that word hoax. I just wanted to know from your strategist standpoint, is this the straw that breaks the back of people in MAGA world that go, they voted for Trump because they were disenchanted by other politicians. Now, to them, does he come off as just another politician?
Yeah, this is a real political problem for Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. You cannot, I got to watch my words here, you cannot urinate on someone's leg and tell them it's raining. For 10 years, Donald Trump has promised transparency, has said that they would release all the files on Epstein, on JFK's assassination, on aliens at Area 51, on 9/11, on January 6th, on the pandemic. He said he was going to shake things up and tell people what really happened. And now he is demonstrating to the world that he thinks his own voters are stupid. And he will never apologize for that. So I would like to apologize to anyone who voted for Donald Trump expecting him to be different. I'm sorry. I'm sorry that you got duped and that he doesn't think you're smart enough to see what is happening here. When the Attorney General of the United States says, the Epstein files are on my desk, I'm reviewing them right now. And then a couple months later, they go, what files? There's no files. This is a five-alarm fire within the magosphere. And a thing that my friend Bill McCashin and I, he's a Republican, but we agree on this wholeheartedly. Politics is about addition. If you want to win, if you want to make change, you have to add people to your coalition. And since he was sworn in on January 20th, President Donald Trump has been practicing the politics of subtraction. This is only the most recent and only the most glaring and insulting to his own voters' example. There's something going on here. And shame on every House Republican who every single time they've had an opportunity to force the release of these things, they have voted to continue the cover-up. It's shameful.
Which takes us to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel article by Lawrence Andrea. The headline is Ron Johnson and Wisconsin Republicans at odds with Trump over release of the Epstein case documents. And Ron Johnson says it's a bizarre situation. He says something doesn't smell right. Derek Van Orden says he wants, quote, every bit of evidence to be released. Tom Tiffany saying information on Epstein should be released so the public can decide what they think of it. And yet, when Van Orden and Tiffany and others, other House Republicans, were told, all right, here's a chance to do that, they didn't do that.
And for listeners who haven't been following, there have been a number of votes this week in the House of Representatives. It's the White House and Republicans were calling it Crypto Week. And Democrats, led by Ro Khanna, attached amendments or attempted to attach amendments saying, release the files, redact the victims' names so that they are not re-victimized and re-traumatized, but everything else should come out, and every single House Republican, save for one, not from Wisconsin, I think it was an Oklahoma Republican, voted to continue the cover-up. And to do that within the same 10-day time period where we learn that there's a like 2.5 to 3 minute gap in the video that they released, Ron Johnson is right in saying that something doesn't smell right. Where he's wrong is he gets to do something. Like, isn't he some big shot on his GAC?
He's always talking about investigations. Right. He does investigations all the time.
So stop listening to what MAGA and the right say and start watching what they do, because they're saying one thing and doing another. In this case, they are doing Donald Trump's dirty work for him and continuing to cover this up. I want to add one other thing to this, because it's the timing on it is just like absurd. They fired the prosecutor in the Southern District of New York this week who prosecuted the Epstein, Ghislaine Maxwell cases, and it's James Comey's daughter. This is like MAGA Mad Libs, triple Yahtzee conspiracy theory stuff come to life. Oh, what are they hiding? And so this is a problem, and it will remain a problem. And I apologize to the voters who were duped by Donald Trump, who he thinks are apparently idiots.
Yeah. I mean, again, bring it back to justice for the victims and not playing political games. While we're talking about Ron Johnson and Donald Trump, let's turn to another Lawrence Andrea story along with Dan Bice from the Journal Sentinel about how in the way it's supposed to work is Ron Johnson and Tammy Baldwin, when there are judgeship openings, you know, they will work on presenting a list of recommendations to the president, whoever is president at the time. And they were in the midst of doing that with an upcoming vacancy on the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals, only to find out that Trump and White House officials have already started interviewing some conservative Wisconsin candidates on their own. And according to a White House spokesman, we welcome the feedback from outside groups, but the final determination is from the president after consultation with senior staff. We welcome feedback from outside groups like the United States Senate.
Yeah, outside groups. Listen, I believe it's now 13 years or so that Tammy Baldwin and Ron Johnson have been our United States senators. Mm-hmm. And during that time, there have been real disputes between Johnson and Baldwin about these lists, about this blue slip process. The fact that they have figured it out and have gotten to a place where the two of them, and remember how far apart on the political spectrum Tammy Baldwin and Ron Johnson are, that they can say, here are five acceptable names to look at, that matters. Like, that means it is a vetted, good list of people with qualifications. I'm sure there are people who Tammy Baldwin does not, you know, align with ideologically, but when you have Ron Johnson and Tammy Baldwin saying, anybody from this list of five, go off of that list of five. This doesn't have to be very complicated.
Oh, unless you're looking for the, it's all loyalty test, and whoever can be the most loyal to Trump will do that. Contrast what Tammy Baldwin and Ron Johnson are doing with Derek Van Orden and Mark Pocan, where Derek Van Orden interrupted a Mark Pocan presser, revving his motorcycle as he goes past, and then starts charging the microphone and insulting Mark Pocan, and it was all captured by Spectrum One News, and just again Derek Van Orden doing Derek Van Orden things. Such a contrast.
And here's what I think is getting missed in this, and is actually the most important point of it. The interview that Van Orden decided to disrupt was a joint interview between Democrat Mark Pocan and Republican Tony Weed, who represents the 8th Congressional District. So here you have another example where you have political opponents, one from the left and one from the right, finding common ground on something and doing an interview about it and disagreeing agreeably and demonstrating the way we want this to work. And Derek Van Orden is so far out of the limits of the universe. Like, the guy is out of this world nuts, and he has to come and disrupt the interview and make stuff up about Mark Pocan, saying he's never worked a day in his life. Mark Pocan has owned a small business for more than 30 years. Like, here we go. Just once again, insulting people who work for a living, just making it up. DVO has got to go. He's out of control.
It is. Yeah, it is. It is what he does. Joe Zepecki is with us. A local update is next for some of you. Others will come back here for some final news and notes from Lake Wasota, along with Joe. Remember, you can follow my team at Up North News all day long through our newsletters, social media, our website, upnorthnewswi.com, and of course, right here, mornings on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlow.
Building and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In a chaotic and somewhat discombobulating end to the process, Wisconsin lawmakers passed a state budget and Governor Tony Evers signed it into law at about 1:30 a.m. on July 3rd. What made this budget different from the others signed in this era of divided government is that Democratic votes were needed to pass the budget in the state Senate. Part of the reason that was made possible is because of new, fairer maps. Last November, Senate Democrats flipped four seats, shrinking the Republican majority to just an 18-15 margin. Now, candidates are already lining up to take this the rest of the way and flip the chamber. Democrat Jenna Jacobson, who currently serves in the Assembly, is now running for Senate, challenging Republican Howard Markline in the 17th District. If Democrats can flip that district and one more seat, they could control the state Senate for the first time in more than 15 years. That would be a big deal for state politics in Wisconsin.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area. Matt Nair on air.
Author of America, Let Me In, Felipe Torres Medina is here.
My funny book about immigration. You can see how the current administration and their policies are affecting the communities. But I'm a comedian. It is really sad, but how about some jokes? Because that's the only way I can, you know.
If we don't take a moment to laugh about something, we're all going to self-destruct.
100%.
Matt Nair on air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Milwaukee film critic, Mr. Matt Miller. I know you saw this. I saw 28 Years Later as well. I really liked it. My wife loved it, and we're not really horror people, but just something that grabbed. It's just great storytelling.
It is simultaneously what you would want from a zombie movie and something completely different. It's just a really fascinating movie and one I hope people keep checking out.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Small businesses are the heart of America. As the nation's largest nonprofit resource of expert business mentoring, SCORE has helped millions of entrepreneurs build their businesses. For free, find a mentor today at score.org.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Good morning. You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow from the Civic Media Radio Network on WRCE AM 1450 and FM 107.7. Good morning. With a look at sports, I'm Adam Hass. With the game on the line earlier this week, the Utah Jazz set up a shot for former Badger sharpshooter John Tanjay. He nailed a three-pointer to send the Summer League contest into overtime on Monday. The Jazz lost to San Antonio 93-91, but Tanjay hit 4 of 7 three-pointers. He scored 16 points in 23 minutes of action. He also had 3 rebounds and 3 assists. He's expected to be on restricted minutes again tonight due to an ankle injury when Utah and Washington face off. Packers rookie Anthony Belton is on the long list of second-round draft picks from the 2025 NFL Draft who do not have a signed contract. To this point, only two have agreed to a deal. Belton isn't holding out in the true sense of the word, but he isn't allowed to take part in training camp without a contract agreement in place. He has a chance to start as a rookie after an outstanding college career, but missing those practices will set him back. The Sporting News reports that the two players who have signed contracts got guaranteed deals. That's what the remaining second-rounders are hoping for. Reports out of Boston indicate Celtics injured superstar Jason Tatum is trying to recruit Damian Lillard to join the storied NBA franchise. Lillard is known to be focused on winning his first career championship, and Tatum is evidently trying to convince him Boston is where that could happen. Sports Illustrated reports that both players will miss out or most of next season. Lillard's situation following his waiver from the Bucks gives the future Hall of Fame player the right to choose his destination. It isn't known when he may make that decision. Vaughn Miller is joining the Washington Commanders. Miller is going to sign a one-year contract with Washington, a person familiar with the agreement told the Associated Press. The NFL's active sacks leader posted to social media, quote, DC, what's good? With an automated image of him as a number 24 Commanders uniform. The 36-year-old edge rusher's deal comes a week before the start of training camp. Miller was cut by Buffalo in a salary cap saving move in March after injuries derailed much of his time with the Buffalo Bills. Bradley Beal and the Phoenix Suns have agreed to a buyout on the final 2 years of his contract. That, according to a person with knowledge of the deal, who spoke to the Associated Press on condition of anonymity Wednesday because the deal has not been officially announced by either side. ESPN reports that the buyout paves the way for Beal to sign a 2-year, $11 million deal with the Los Angeles Clippers. Beal is expected to give back $13.9 million of the $110 million he's owed from the Suns, which allows Phoenix more flexibility as it attempts to rebuild its roster. Yu Zidi of China is only 12 years old and has qualified for the World Swimming Championships in Singapore. Her performance stunned the swimming world. Yu's times in the 200 and 400-meter individual medley and the 200 butterfly rank among the best in the world this year. She's 12 years old. At the national championships in May, her times in the 200 butterfly and 400 IM would have placed her fourth in last year's Paris Olympics. She's also swimming faster at 12 than teenage Canadian star Summer McIntosh did at the same age. McIntosh has won 3 Olympic gold medals and holds the world record in both medley races. The Indiana Fever might be without star guard Caitlin Clark again for a bit after she injured a groin muscle Tuesday night late in a win over the Connecticut Sun. It will be a busy week for the league's young star if she can play at all. She sat out of the team's 98-77 loss against New York, and her status for WNBA All-Star Weekend, which Indiana is hosting, is up in the air. Clark is supposed to compete in a loaded 3-point contest Friday night and is captain of one of the All-Star teams. The 153rd edition of the British Open is underway at Royal Portrush in Northern Ireland. Patrick Harrington of Ireland had the honor of opening the tee shots. That was a fitting choice. He's a 2-time Open champion, and it meant the Open at Royal Portrush would start the way the last one ended, with big cheers for an Irish golf shot. The last time here was 2019, when Shane Lowry ended with a tap-in par to win the Claret Jug. Rory McIlroy is the favorite son of Northern Ireland, and he played in the afternoon. Scottie Scheffler was part of the morning teams. Kalen DeBoer is looking to restore Alabama as one of the nation's top college football teams. At the same time, he's looking to escape the shadow of Nick Saban. DeBoer is entering his second season as Alabama coach after a 9-4 finish in his 2024 debut. DeBoer said the SEC Media Day that his team fell short last season because it failed to qualify for the playoffs. He says the Crimson Tide have learned from their shortcomings and are in position to enjoy greater success in 2025. DeBoer says Alabama must, quote, be better in the big moments this season. Soccer faces growing challenges from extreme heat, as seen during the FIFA Club World Cup in the U.S. this summer. Rising global temperatures are making summer tournaments increasingly dangerous for players and fans. Scientists warn that continuing to hold events in June and July could lead to severe heat-related illnesses. FIFA introduced measures like extra water breaks and shaded benches, but still face criticism from players. Experts suggest shifting tournaments to cooler months, though this disrupts traditional soccer calendars. With the 2026 and the 2030 World Cup scheduled in hot regions, addressing heat risks is becoming urgent as climate change worsens. That's a look at sports on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. The forecast for today, partly cloudy and cooler. We're going to hit a high of 73. A few clouds, crisp conditions tonight. We're going to drop all the way down to 53. And Friday's forecast, partly cloudy, a chance of showers late Friday night, and a high of 77. Have yourself a great Thursday, everyone. I'm Adam.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. There had been indications that consumers might be ready to pull back on their spending because of worry over the Trump tariffs. Turns out, however, that didn't happen last month. Here's ABC's Jim Ryan.
The Census Bureau estimates that retail and food services sales last month topped $720 billion, up 0.6% from May, and higher by nearly 4% from June of last year. The surprise increase comes after a month that saw retail sales decline by nearly 1%.
President Trump says he's anxious to move on from the Jeffrey Epstein story, even though a growing number of his supporters and Democrats as well continue calling on the Justice Department to release everything they have on the convicted sex offender. Attorney General Pam Bondi says nothing more will be coming out. The Senate, in a vote that happened at 2 o'clock this morning, approving $9 billion in federal funding clawbacks that had already been approved for foreign health aid and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. This is ABC News.